Edim achasum al shtar nafse kemisha nechra edusim beizdin dami. The words are very shlokish. The Amora, which appear in several places in Shas, most centrally for us, Gittin Dav Gimel Amud Aleph. The Edim there signed on the shtar is ki'ilu. Ki'ilu, they were checked out in beizdin. So we were thinking over the last year or two that this is really curious. Just try to think about this a little bit. The statement of Reish Lakish itself and what the Gemara seeks to do with Reish Lakish, namely to explain that min haTorah Shtar is not only acceptable, but acceptable without any need for Kiyam HaShtar. Min haTorah, the Nit'an, who's the muchzak, who's being attacked in Beis Din, who's being sued in Beis Din, min haTorah has no recourse to say shtar mezayif. Our whole need for kiyum hashtar is only drabanan. That also itself is itself surprising, and the Gemara relates it strangely to this commentary Reish Lakish. So to organize ideas. So he said, you would have thought that a shtar would be worse than live edim. Torah talks about live edim in two different contexts, both in the context of Misa and Malkos on Sheagov, and the context of Mamon, Davar Sheba Mamon, based on two edim, Yakum Davar, based on two edim, Yumas Hameis, two different places in the Chumash. And the Gemara quotes the Medrash Chazal to expand that to a third, Davar Davar Mimamon, that in our parish at the beginning of Perek Chavdalid and Kiseitze, parish of Gittin V'Kiddushin, Ki Motza Ba'ervas Davar, that word Davar is, so to speak, it's a blue and underlined, it's hypertext, it's clickable, and the Chazal had a Masor that you can click through from the word Davar, by Yakum Davar, by two Eidim, by Mamon, to Kimatza Ba'ervas Davar, Davar Sheba Erva, and hence you have these three areas of halacha where there's a requirement of two Edim. Onshe Aguf, Yisrael Malkus, and Davar Sheba Mamon, and Davar Sheba Erva. There maybe are one or two other smaller areas as well, like Kiddush HaChodesh. Those are the three major areas that require two Edim. Misa Malkus, Mamon, and Davar Sheba Erva. Normally, the psukim talk about mipi ha'edim. The edim are coming live. So we see Ray described that way in Parashat Mishpatim. So he said, we would have thought that the edim in the shtar should be less than edim in the edim live. Why should they be less than?
I would have thought shtar ought to be garua from Eidim Balfeb. I would have thought it's less than. How so? Number one, most basically, I don't know who they are. A piece of paper. I don't know. Am I certain? Is a piece of paper signed? Isaac and Avram have been drafted as our steady edim, so I'll take away the chazak of the mitzvah. So if Isaac and Avram walk into Beis Din, then I see it's Isaac and Avram. I see a piece of paper. I don't even know who it is. Maybe it's no one. Maybe the towing, the one who's bringing the court case, did it himself. Maybe it's Mizrah. I don't know who they are. Number one. Number two. I don't know if they're telling the truth. Are they telling the truth? Are they lying? In other words, problem number one is mezuyif. Maybe it's the shtar is mezuyif. Problem number two is chakira. There's no drisha of a chakira. I can't cross-examine a piece of paper. And problem number three should have been less, because after all, we have a din, Xeris Akasa, the first two points are just logical points. misvara, you realize that a shtar is weaker than live Eidim, because I don't even know if they're Eidim here at all, and I can't ask them any questions. I can't look them in the eye and see if they look like they're being honest or not, and I can't cross-examine them and try to catch them in a contradiction. And then I have a gzeiras hakos of a din. The din is the opinion of the example. So for three reasons, it should have been less. Lamaisa. Lamaisa, it's actually more. Shtar is actually Adif. Wow. How do I know Shtar is more? So number one, all these three things. At least the first two. Right? I do accept them. I do accept that the shtar, that they are them. I do accept that the shtar was signed by the actual people, even though I haven't seen them yet. I do accept that they're telling the truth, even though I haven't cross-examined them. And then there's more. Maybe some of you learned the Mishnah of Bava Basra, the last paragraph of Bava Basra. You learned Bava Basra not so long ago. Some of you didn't officially learn Get Pasha, you probably came across it then. If I bring Isaac and Avram, will say that Ezra owes me money, and they Isaac and Avram actually come. Aden stop there. They walk into the business and they say, yes, we saw Cohen lend Ezra $1,000. So what can Ezra not say anymore? Which time can he not advance? He can no longer say, Lola Visi. He can no longer say, I didn't borrow the money, because the Edom say, you did borrow the money. If he says he didn't borrow the money, the Edom can say, yes, he did, we remember. So now he's toast. Right? But there's still something that Ezra could say. Instead of saying Lola Visi, he could have said, no, the Edom are true.
He loaned me
$1. No, the Edom remember $1,000, but a payback, right? If you have Edom Baal Peh, you can't say Lo Levisi, but you can still say Harati. The Edom only saw that you borrowed the money. They haven't been holding Ezra's hand for the last 3 years since the loan. They were there, and then they went about their own business. So they have no idea there was subsequent repayment. So Edom Baal Peh only knock out the possibility of the Nitan, say, a tiniest patur of Lo Levisi. Lahadam. Say, it never happened, no, they didn't say it happened. Right? Or if I say, I never got into a car crash, I don't owe you any money, they didn't say, well, we saw the car crash. Right? Or you say, I never bought it, I say you bought on credit, you say, no, I didn't, they say, well, yes, you did. Right? So if you had Edom, you can't deny the fact that the Edom saw. But you can still say, it's true, I did owe you money, but then I paid you back. It's true that 3 years ago I incurred obligation to you, but over the last 3 years I've paid you back. Parati. That you can say if they're Eidim Baal Peh. However, when can you not say parati? There's a shtar. There's a shtar. Right. So then you say, well, shtarach abiyadi my boy. Right. If I have a shtar signed by Isaac and Avram that says that Ezra lent me money, not only can he not say I never borrowed the money, he also cannot say that I paid you back. So not only do we assume that Eino Mezuyev, the shtar is real, and not only do we assume it's Kemish and Nechkara, and since I did have Chakira, we also, the Edus Shebishtar includes more. It includes more facts. And by the way, it's really remarkable. Because why is it that if Isaac and Avram came live, they can only say that I lent him the money, but they can never say whether he paid me back or not? Because they weren't there. Well, when they sign a shtar, when did they sign the shtar? Time the loan. So that's really magical. Now do we assume that the shtar is real, and we assume that they're telling the truth, but the shtar is almost telling us more
than they could possibly know. In other words, the fact that I still have the shtar, the tfisas baal hashtar, the implication that, you know, if I still have the shtar, apparently he never paid me back, because if he wouldn't pay me back, he would have demanded that I return the shtar to him so he could destroy it. So the fact that I still have the shtar seems like, is getting integrated into the aegis of the shtar. The aegis of the shtar now includes whatever context implies. Wow, it's kolel more. And the Gemara a little earlier above Basra, Daf Kufnun Tes, says the following. If Isaac and Avram come to Beit, let's say 3 years ago, Isaac and Avram saw the loan. And now I'm suing Ezra, so I bring Isaac and Avram to Beit. Right? And they walk in, Isaac and Avram walk in, and they say Aegis. And the Bezin says, are you guys kosher Aegis? They say, no. I mean, he says, well, a year ago I married his sister. Let's say, a year ago I married his cousin. I married his niece. So now we're Krovim. We weren't Krovim at the time alone, but we're Krovim when we come to Bezin. We were not Krovim B'Shas Re'iyah, but we are Krovim B'Shas Hadava. That's unacceptable. You need to be Kashal Eidos when you say the Eidos. So if you become related after you see, but before you say, that's the problem. For live Eidos. How about for a shtar? Do you need to be kosher? Do the Eidos need to be kosher even when they say or only when they see? Logically, what would you say?
When they say, they see at the same time.
When Bezin reads the shtar, right? When the shtar arrives in Bezin, right? So let's say, let's leave Isaac and Avram out of this now. So let's say, going back to our other set of eight, and we're a little bit more advanced in years. Right? What were their names? Pierce and
Herman.
Franklin? Herman. Right? Herman and Pierce. Right? Herman and Pierce signed the shtar 50 years ago when they were 99 and 119 respectively. And now 50 years later, I bring the shtar to Bezin. So are Franklin, are Pierce and Herman still kashrul eidos? So if they are no longer in Al Mazah, if they have since passed away after 100 lachar mei esrim, so they are not obviously kashrul eidos anymore. And yet the shtar is valid. So the Gemara Bava Basra Kufnun Tes talks about less dramatic cases. Let's say two eidim sign a shtar, and then they become krovim. Right, then they become related to either me or Ezra or to each other. Or two of them sign a shtar, and then one of them becomes possible. They were all holy tzaddik when they signed the shtar, but then subsequently they decide to cheat on their income tax or do some other act of gezel, and now they're possible waivers. So the Gemara Bava Basra Kufnun Tes says, doesn't matter. If they're kosher when they signed it, the edus is locked in forever. So that's yet another. The shtar is better than live Eidim, also because of a Basra Kufnun Tes. They don't need to be ksherim b'shas kriyas ha-bezin. The bezin can read the shtar, and they are either not even alive, or alive but not kosher, not a problem. And if you have the Tosfos and Ksubos in front of you, you'll take a look at Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and you'll see a fifth remarkable magic of shtar. And that is, we were looking last time at Chafaf, top of Chafaf on the days, but the bottom of Chaf Amud, I'm sorry, we looked last time at top of Chaf Amud Beis, but the bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph, Tosfos says that they point out it's a Gemara in Bava Kama that Eidim could come and say that I read the shtar. I could come to Bezin, Elisha and I could come to Bezin, testify that we saw a shtar last week that was signed by Aryeh and Max, and which have said that Reuven owed Shimon $1,000. The shtar is lost, the shtar was destroyed, whatever it is. The Gemara Bava Kama talks about Sar of Sharos of Shalmanero, you like set fire to someone else's documents. So the Gemara implies, if Elisha and I already read the shtar, we didn't sign it, but we read it last week, we could come to Bezin and tell the Bezin what the shtar said, and that's good enough. Let's strike you as surprising or unsurprising.
Isn't that just
Avis? Now, let's again try this mental exercise. Let's say instead of a shtar was live Edom.
Edom saw Edom.
Right? So if Elisha and I were to come to Bezin and say, who we say, that Aryeh and Nach told us what they saw, we call that hearsay. We call that ADPA. ADPA is generally unacceptable. Elisha and I have to talk about in Bezin what we saw, not what someone else told us that they saw. But yet, the Gemara assumes in Bava Tosas on the Bava Kof on Alf Tzubas, based on the Gemara Bava Kama, says, but we could say what we saw in the Shtar. But that's just saying what other Edom told us. Or not. Somehow, once again, Shtar is even better than Edom. Shtar is even better than Edom. Afshar la'id, you can be made of what you read in a shtar, even though that should be Eid Mipi'ed. It's not called Eid Mipi'ed. So all these are remarkable. You would have thought, Misvar, you would have thought that Eidus of a shtar is less than live Eidim. And based on the Zeres HaKasiv, you would have thought the Eidus of a shtar is a zero, when in fact, Eidus of a shtar is not only kosher, and not only as good as live Edom, it's actually 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 ways even better than live Edom. Hello, Davaru. So I understand this. This is wild. Last year we just took Shtar for granted. And certainly, if you learned Cheskzabatim, definitely Shtar keeps coming up, at least in the background. Well, since there's no Shtar, you need Cheskzabatim, right? Shtar is always referred to. You sort of take it for granted. Now we're going to say it's given. Shtar is not in the background. Shtar is exactly. What? And now we start saying, what on earth does this mean? So this is what, again, we said last time, that Tosvos, the Balamor in Yavamas, and the Tosvos in Tzuvas, in seeking to answer this Kasha, this was a kasha of Mithim and Piksavim. Why is it kasha at all? And you remember that what Tosfos said, what the Baal Amor started saying in Yevamos, and Tosfos explained a little more in Ksubas, is that this shtar is not regular Edus. Regular Edus is Isaac and Avram come to Beis and they say what they say. And usually, who brings the Edus to Beis then? This party for whom the Edom are helpful. And if I'm suing Ezra, and I say that Ezra owes me $1,000, he denies it, so I'm the one who is bringing Isaac and Avram to Beis Din. And Ezra's not authorizing them, he's certainly not asking them to say Edom. He doesn't say, the Edom don't need Ezra's authorization to say their thing. So what the Baal Amor says, and Tosfos says more, but a shtar is different, and it's true. So the equivalent biksav, when the Gemara says mipimol biksavam, you can't have edus biksav. Edus has to be balpeh. Again, that was the whole sugya there, that if the fellow is mute, if he can't speak, then he can't say edus. That means that Isaac and Avram have to walk into Beis and speak with their own mouths. They have to articulate, verbalize the words with their mouths, with their vocal cords. They cannot come into Beis Din and write a note to the Beis Din. They can't sign, they cannot nod, They cannot write. They have to actually speak to the basin. Oh, I but a star. So what did the Balmar and the and Taisma say? No! You want to know what that... You want to know why the PM on the peak self is irrelevant to star? Because star is not regular A. The star is a different type of a thing. And this, as we said, Tosis already makes that point. It's not an Adis. It's a different... Star is a different thing, which Reb Chaim picks up on even more in his piece on this Rambam. Gimel Dalet, Adis Paragimel Lachadal. A star is a different type of a thing. And that's why it has all these strengths. But first is why it gets off the ground at all. Is he says star is unique because star is as the Balam already said, it's not them speaking, it's Mipika Savo. They wrote it because of him. Which him? So Tosis explained, him is the Chayim, the Das HaMashiach, the party who stands to lose, who's authorized, he's expressing his Das that you write the star. So as you pointed out before, the star isn't being. The star, usually Eidim who give live Eidus, the Shas Haggadah is when they come to Bezdin. The Shas Re'iyah is when they saw the event. That was last week, last month, last year, last decade, whatever it was. Right? 10 years ago. That was the Shas Re'iyah Hamasa, when you saw the event. And then later on, you come to, at a different point in time, you come to Bezdin and you speak. But here, this is different. Why? If Eidus be Das HaMashiach, the Das HaMashiach, the one who's borrowing the money, the one who's selling the property, who's giving away the property, he tells the Eidim, I want you to write, not that they wrote their own notes then or later to Bezin. No, it was a formal shtar that was added, that was requested and authorized by the Das HaMashiach. Ah, the Das HaMashiach told the Eidim, write the shtar, and I'm going to give it to the Baal HaShtar. Das HaMashiach is the Loved, the borrower, who tells the Eidim, write the shtar, sign the shtar, I'm going to give it to the lender, to the Malva. Or the Das HaMashiach is the seller or giver of the property, the Mocher or the Nosein, who tells the Eidim, write the shtar, sign the shtar. He tells the Sofer, but the Eidim for a shtar raya, what matters is the, ultimately the Eidim signed the shtar, and then he gives it to the buyer. He gives it to the recipient of the gift. The Das HaMashiach authorizes the Eidim, and the Das HaMashiach is handing over the shtar to the Baal HaShtar who holds onto it. Ah, says the Taisvis, Ksuba Stav Chaf on the days. That's called a star. That's called a star. There's a term, there's a star, is a category, as opposed to when the Eidim wrote it on their own. So what are we saying? So this is what, Shechter has a beautiful piece in Eretz HaTzvi. It is the first sefer they wrote. Simen Chav Gimel, a drop of history. Simen Chav Gimel is entitled Kuntres Binyan Eshtaris. Out of the 40 pieces in the Sefer, 4 of them are entitled Kuntres, the Inyan XYZ. Each of those Kuntresim represents the Torah of the Rav on that particular topic, on Shtaris, on Birkas HaMitzvos, and so forth. What it is not a single shear that the Rav gave. It's a coherent synthesis of what the Rav said about the topic over years and years and years of shiurim. So the Shechter put together into, wove together the different pieces into a single coherent whole. There's all history behind why he wrote it. Apparently at one point the Rav was interested in authorizing a Talmud or some group of Talmudim to begin to write the Shurim. So apparently different people auditioned. So I think Shechter's audition was these, and in the end the Rav, I think the whole thing fell apart, the Rav wasn't well. But those 4 Kuntresim were written for that purpose. So they all have the same footnote at the beginning, that this article is all the Torah of the Rav over Shiurim, together with adding Mar Makomas that I put into the footnotes. So Simen Chav Gimel is a tour de force about Shtaris. And near the beginning, he quotes, had the Rav understood, had the Rav had gotten Baal Peh,
the Reb Chaim's approach that appears also in the Sefer, that the Torah was mechadesh, as where the Rambam is differentiating between shtar kein and shtar raya, and we'll return to that differentiation later, next lot or so. The Balamor and the Tosis saw in the parsha of shtar, side the parsha of shtar of get, and perhaps also the parshas that Rambam points out, the Gemara does quote many psukim in Neviim that talk about shtar, that the Torah is being mechadesh. That there's a separate, there's one category called Eidus, another category called Shtar. Eidus has various rules, like ADPA is no good, and like you need Eidim Bashas, and like Mipim Lo Piksavim, Eidus has to be given Baal Peh, and Eidus, you have to be kosher for Eidus, both Bashas Re'iyah and Bashas Haggadah, and Eidus requires Chakira. Whereas the Torah is machadish, this other category, a different type of edus called shtar. When an edus is not just an edus given by the edim, but an edus was an edus authorized by the Das HaMeschayev, that's the key factor that the Baal Mor and Tosfos talk about, then that's not just regular edus, it's a super type of edus, a different category of edus called shtar. Shtar is not bound by these rules. Memela, everything works. Okay, so now you might say, that's very nice, like why does it make any sense? Like that's just the rule. Because if the Dasam is high, then all of a sudden all the rules don't apply. Why? So I think the next step is the following. The psukim in Yirmiyahu that you remember from last year in Chaskas Avatim, right, where Yirmiyahu buys the family field from Hananel, is meant to be a sign of hope for Klal Yisrael, even though Galus is impending, and the real estate market in Israel is about to totally bottom out, because who's buying real estate when it's all going to be overrun by the Babylonian armies? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you, you're going to buy the field, and you're going to have a shtar, and you're going to seal the shtar in a clay jar. The same technology that a few centuries later the Qumran people would use to preserve their scrolls for 2,000 years. Yirmiyahu is really told, put in Klicheres, my Yavim Rabim, I want to have a shtar that's going to preserve this. And when the Jewish people come back, when your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren come back in 70 years to Eretz Yisrael, to build a Bayis Sheni, they'll have the proof that this land is their great-grandfather, Yirmiyahu, bought this land and they own it. So what you see from that parsha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in having a way. There is a practical problem that the halacha is solving, the din d'oraisa is solving with regard to Eidus, which is that what do you do if your Eidim are Pierce and Herman? How do you have a system work if proving anything depends on the Eidim who saw the event still being alive and still remembering and still being around and being interested in coming to Beis Din? That's incredible number of moving parts. It's an incredible number of variables. And what's going to happen if not? And how does an economic system work? If every loan and any time you owe money for any reason, it's a loan, it's a sale, it's an act of nezek, it was a job well done, whatever it is, but if recouping, the only way to recoup that money is to bring live aid into Beis Din, that's an incredibly precarious situation. But Kodesh Baruch Hu could have said, that's it then. You need two live Eidim Vizel. But the Pesukim make it clear that Kodesh Baruch Hu, in crafting the halacha, told us there's a solution to that. And the Doraisa solution is, well, there's another type of Eidus you can do. If you involve the Das HaMeschayev, then you can there is a way to preserve your Eidus. You can take your Eidus and freeze it. You can take it and freeze it, cryogenically, freeze it, and then you can then it's not going to spoil, it's not going to get ruined. How do you do that? So to have Eidus that's preservable, that does work Bixav, and that can outlast the longevity and memory of the actual Eid Musod, for that you need the added element. That's how Lach is Koveya. If Eidus plus Das HaMeschayev, then it's not just regular Eidus type 1, it's this higher type 2 Eidus called Shtar. And all of these pieces are necessary for a preserved eidus to work at all, it needs to be, for instance, that it's kemish nechira. There can't be a requirement of chakira sa'edim by shtar, otherwise, obviously, it's useless. Because that's the whole point, the eidim aren't coming. And there can't be a need for them to still be kosher b'shas kriyas ha'edus, kriyas ha'bezin, because once again, then it's useless. Or, so menela, so but what do these two things tell me? That if the halacha is kovea, that if shtar works, how do you see in the psukim? Where did Rish Lakish get it from? The commission echay dus nabezin dami. Okay, the din of shtar, fine. Zeres Akasev, people like Sava doesn't apply because the halacha says there is a shtar. But how do you know that's even better? Kamisha Nachra. Simple, we're saying, because otherwise it doesn't work at all. There's no in between. Preserved Eidus can't just work as well as live Eidim. It doesn't work because you're not going to be able to do Chakira and you're going to need to have your Eidim still kosher. So if it's to work at all, if preserved Eidus is to work at all, it must be better in terms of A, there's no need for chakira, kemish shenechra, and B, you don't need them to be kosher, b'shas kriyas ha'bezin. Those need to be, those obviously have to be true. Otherwise, shtar wouldn't work at all. But once that's true, so what's that telling me? That the Haggadah Sa'edus really occurred, and I think Eitan had said this before. The Shas Haggadah isn't when the Beis Din read it. Shas Haggadah, because it's already Kamish Shenechkara before it ever gets to Beis Din. So in other words, the magic of the Gzeres HaKosav that there's such a thing as Shtar, whether it's based in the Psukim of Get and Kisekte, or it's based in the Psukim of Shtar Raya and Yirio, if there's a Gzeres HaKosav of Shtar at all, the Gzeres HaKosav preserved Eidus at all, it must have not only be as good, it's not being peak summer, it's actually even better. Kamisha Nechra, they don't have to be kosher. What that implies is the Haggadah Sa'edus is already Ki'ilu, you said the Eidus when you signed it. Normally, there are two separate stages, Re'iyas Ha'edus and Haggadah Le'Bezin. But when there's a Das of Mischayev telling Isaac and Avram to sign, then the Das of Mischayev makes not just Ki'ilu they saw, but Ki'ilu they saw and said, and Nechkeru, Ki'ilu everything already happened. That's why there's no need for Chakir later. That's why there's no need for their Kashrus later. Because Haggadah already happened earlier. Ki'ilu. Ki'ilu the Haggadah happened when they signed it. Ki'ilu the Chakira happened when they signed it. It has to be. Again, to be Gzeres HaKosav, that there's a way of preserving Eidus, not only is it as good, and there's no psul of peak savam, but it's also, they don't have to be kashulated. Haggadah already occurred b'shas chasima, and the ki'ilu the Chakira occurred b'shas chasima. And that's why Tosa says, on Daf Chaf Amnaf and Ksubas, that although Elisha and I cannot be made in Beis Din what Eidim told us, we can be made in Beis Din what we saw on the Shtar. Because we could also be made in Beis Din, that we were in Elisha and I could come to the Beis Din in Philadelphia and say, last week we were in Dallas, and we were in the Beis Din in Dallas, where the Beis Din was Makabel, the Eidus of Max and Yoel, we saw the Kabbalah say it's the Chakira Sa'edim. That would be acceptable. We can't say, Stam, that we heard the Eidim tell us stuff. That's hearsay, it's A-B-A. But to be made that we heard Beis Din be Makabel and Eidus and Michok and Eidim, that's legitimate. So when we say we saw a star, it's not saying we heard the words of the Eidim. Even better, we saw Mashenechkira. It all follows. And for Eidus in a shtar to work, it's going to have to include more. And then you begin to understand in our Gemara why once you say that the shtar is already one of the nuschos, is the shtar is a talking shtar. The shtar already has the Haggadah Se'edus built into it. Kiel, there's already a Haggadah Se'edus that was frozen with a Chakira, a Haggadah Chakura that was frozen at the time of the Chasima. So then you begin to understand also why the Gemara suggests that maybe if you believe, if you accept Reish Lakish, which we do, the Edom, HaChasum HaShtar Nasa Kimishin Nechrei Duz Nebedim, not that they're as good, they're even better than live Edom. It's because they already did not only Re'iyah, but Haggadah and Chakira, even though, what do you mean? Logically, there's no Chakira Sa'edim. We have no way of knowing that they're telling the truth. Maybe they lied. We cannot cross-examine them. Yes, but it's true. But the Xeris HaKosav, that's Koveya, a surprise, but not a shock, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said not only is there such a thing as live Edom, there's also going to be a way of preserving, freezing Edos for the future. It has to be that in that case, there's no need for Chakira. So then it begins to follow logically that maybe there's also no need for the most fundamental verification. In other words, the Xeris HaKosav implies you have to accept a shtar. That Min HaTorah, there's a piece of paper that's signed. We assume it's not Mezuyah Min HaTorah, and that's why our Mishnah says, Midrabanan, one aid is enough, because Min HaTorah, you need no Edim whatsoever.